When I stepped out into the bright sunlight from the darkness of the movie house, I had only two things on my mind: Paul Newman and spoiler warnings.
This is the Flicks X Raid podcast, starting in 5, 4.
Hi, welcome to Flicks X Raid. I'm your host, Tony, and I have tonight joining me across the table as my co-host, the Golden Pony Boy himself, Ryan.
Hola! And we've got Bonafide Hero Johnny with us.
Hey, what's up?
And joining us from across the internet is a greaser named Flash Flanagan.
How y'all doing tonight?
Pretty good yourself, Flash?
Good. I'm very excited for this one. I know I've done this show before, but I haven't been this excited since the Street Fighter episode.
We were just talking about that one earlier. but let's take a moment to get to know our guest. So, Flash, why don't you tell us about your new podcast and website?
Oh, well, the new podcast is going to be launching in December. It's going to be called Knowers of Things. That's right. And it's going to be, we are going to be on the website, and you can reach us at nodball.com. That's right. So it's N-O-D-B-A-L-L. And yep, it's exactly the way you heard it. Nodball.
All right,
and you can also reach us on Instagram and Twitter at Nodball Media.
Cool. And that's you and Jesse working again?
Yep, that's me and Mr. Endo. He was also been on this show. And by the way, he's awful hurt that you guys didn't ask him to come back.
I wouldn't mind. He just didn't reach out to me like you did.
Exactly. And I told him you have to do that. So
yeah.
I was like, I got on the show
got this
because
pretty quick.
I reached out. Yeah.
All right, so now let's take a moment to get to know our guest. The question of the night is, have you ever been in a fight? So, Johnny, have you ever been in a fight?
Yeah, a few of them, I'd say. I grew up with brothers, so you basically had to fight for that. I was the youngest brother, so, yeah, I naturally had to fight. Few elementary fights, a few middle school fights, a few high school fights. Yeah, it was good fun, you know. Yeah. Thank goodness for boxing, because it... helps pay dividends. You know, you see some WWF stuff back in the day, but you stick with the fundamentals.
Fair. Flash, what about yourself?
Yes, actually. My first fight was actually when I was in kindergarten, and I whooped a second grader, so I felt pretty good about that.
As you
and
should.
And then, yeah. And then, of course, you know, I had a temper, so I would always get into fights. And the most recent fight I've actually had was back in 2009. And yeah, and it's actually kind of weird because I ended up being friends with the guy afterwards. So,
well, that's the opposite of one of my last fights. I literally fought a dude who used to be my friend, and then I punched him in the face and I broke his tooth off in my fist. I still have a scar.
Oh, jeez.
Nice.
Ryan.
Shorter answer is no.
There's a longer version of that?
Yeah. Well, usually if I was in a fight, it lasts less than 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you don't count those?
No, because, well, I'm a pretty big guy, and most people realize as soon as you get into a fight, they last longer than 10 seconds, they're willing to leave. Or and I took some martial arts that, like street fighting, and I try to avoid fights because I could end a dude pretty quickly if I have to, unfortunately.
Like, he'll end you.
It literally, the classes was like, we're going to teach you to fight dirty and survive a fight in a street fight. Like, you were breaking a dude's face. Like, you were literally fighting dirty. Like, this is how you win and survive a street fight.
Jeez.
It was kind of creepy and scary. Like, one of the moves is like, this is, if you hit the person with your elbow correctly, it will rip off their nose and crush their face.
Sounds like a good class.
Yeah, it was interesting and very informative.
I'm like, I'm staring at Ryan here, and I'm like, I really want to see this, but I'm really like, yeah. Who do I send you against?
Well, and another thing was like, one of the things is like, so it was based off Jeet Kune Do, which was
Bruce Lee's fighting style
of basically how to survive on the streets. And one of the things we learned was is like to quickly put your thumb in somebody's eye.
And
my instructor is like, if this happens, there's two things that are going to happen. Is either you're going to burst their eyeball or it'll swell, like the eye socket will swell around your thumb and you will not be able to get your thumb out of there.
Jesus.
Yeah, like I say, I don't want to get into a fight now that I know that stuff, because...
No, that's legit.
I did spar. I've sparred, but nothing.
No street fighting.
No street fighting.
You know how to, but you don't do it.
I don't want to, especially now that I know what I know.
That's fair. All right, it's time for a synopsis and starring. So, Ryan, you read the synopsis off for us there.
All right. A teen gang in rural Oklahoma, the Greasers, are perpetually at odds with these socials, a rival group. When Greasers, Ponyboy, and Johnny get into a brawl that ends in the death of a social member, the boys are forced to go into hiding. Soon, Ponyboy and Johnny, along with the intense Dallas and their other Greaser buddies, must contend with the consequences of their violent lives. While some Greasers try to achieve redemption, others meet tragic ends.
This movie is directed by Francis Ford Coppola. Coppola?
Coppola.
Coppola. Coppola. Coppola. And it's starring C. Thomas Howell as Ponyboy Curtis, Ralph Macchio as Johnny, Matt Dillon as Dallas, Patrick Swayze as Daryl Curtis, and Rob Lowe as Soda Pop Curtis. All right. And with that, it's time for us to play a game.
Dun, 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 dun.
I want to play a game.
Oh, it's a game.
A game.
Specifically tailored for each participant.
Let's have some fun.
Yeah, let's have some fun.
Ladies, start your enjambes.
I'm having a blast. This is the most fun I've had without lubricant.
So you played recently?
A game with drums.
All right, so tonight's game is Twitter Explains Books Made Into Film Plots Badly. So I've trolled Twitter, which people do, apparently, is a thing, to find a whole bunch of people who have taken books that got made into movies and badly explained the plot in as little characters as possible. So each time one of you guys gets this right, you get a point. It's first one to answer wins. There's no buttons on this one because obviously Flash is on Skype. And he's got a little bit of lag, so, you know, Johnny, you may have an advantage in this round, which may lead to your downfall later.
It's true. It is true.
So here we go. I don't even have an example for this one because I couldn't find one for this one. We're just going to go right into this game. The first one, older sister ruins younger sister's chance to appear on TV. Let me know if you need me to read that again, Flash.
No, you're good.
Ooh. These are very
obscure. These are rough.
Yeah. Older sister ruins younger sister's chance to get on TV.
It's based off a teen
book.
Yeah. There was a Japanese book based. Very similar.
No, I like that that's where you go to it. It's like you could talk about the fact that she's an archer or anything like that, but no.
It's almost like if they were dropped onto an island. And...
Buzz.
Buzz.
That, okay, next time he's on with the game with the buzzers, you got to use that.
Oh, Buzz.
The Hunger Games.
All right, Johnny's got the first point.
Yay.
Point.
Very nice.
All right, number two.
I was staying out of it because I was like, I have no idea.
I know, I was drawing blank, and he's like, wait, happens on an island and archers. I'm like, oh, Olympus. No.
Exactly. It's Hercules. A group spends 9 hours returning jewelry.
Well, only if you watch the extended editions.
Yeah, I guess.
Man, they're going so long, I might need second breakfast.
Buzz.
I like having no buzzers.
The bank job?
No.
The bank job?
That was a book.
All right.
And it was a true event.
Was it Lord of the Rings?
Yes!
Okay.
I was going to say, man, they should have flown over there, but that would have been a little too obvious.
I almost said The Hobbit.
That's the prequel.
I would have said close.
I was like, wait a minute.
All right. Next one. Author has a killer case of writer's block.
Buzz.
Yes?
Misery.
No.
Oh, that would have been a good one.
That would be a good one. That's very close. But it is very close. Same author. I like that Ryan's giving me, like, signals here. He's like, yeah, right, about that. You could almost say it's a really bad Airbnb stuff.
Airbnb, yeah.
Johnny's really...
I'm drawing a blank.
I see him here.
Come on, here's Johnny and everything thinking about it. And... Yeah. Ryan got that reference. I hope everyone at home did, too.
Oh, they're probably going, what the fuck is it?
Oh, it's like, I'm trying to picture the film, and it's just like, oh man, I can't remember.
Film something something makes something go something. If I could figure that out.
Yeah, you wouldn't be a dull boy.
Exactly.
I'll work.
Oh no. Oh god.
No play.
Where did that come from?
The Shining.
Yes.
Yes. I'm having more fun with this.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, these are really rough clues.
They are really rough clues.
Yeah, they are.
So that's why I went with Misery, because I was just like, writer's block, this person.
Also,
killer.
The Secret Window.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Same writer.
That would have been an answer. Yep.
All right. Man likes to have his friends for dinner.
Preferably with a nice Chianti.
Buzz. Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Johnny got that one.
Well, hello.
With his buzz.
Well, hello, Clarice.
Yep.
All right, we're all tied up. Next up. Olden day cousins of chickens vex middle-aged bloke from The Fly.
Wow.
Technically, it's a book for first. Actually, I just lent this book to my sister-in-law.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
Way better book than the movie, but the movie was good.
The movie's solid.
The Flies?
No.
No.
It's the actor from The Fly.
Oh, okay.
Give you a clue. Not Gina Davis.
Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
But what movie?
Hey, just because you can give clues doesn't mean you should.
Not Jurassic Park, is it?
It is.
Awesome.
Flash takes that one.
Yes.
Okay, this one's even harder. Man can't find what he's looking for in a grocery store.
A little cloudy on this one, I know.
Yeah. Cloudy with the Chance of Meatballs?
No. Swing and a miss.
Perfectly timed.
Yes, it is. Also same writer as The Shining.
Langoliers?
No.
That one's pretty close, though, to that clue.
It is pretty.
Like
that one is... This is tough. Oh,
it's almost
geez.
Like they, you know, reminds me of going to that hill where it's silent.
Yeah.
Why do I keep thinking of, like, I want to say In Nick of Time with Johnny Depp?
No.
This one's really...
A really obscure one.
Yeah.
Was it, like, Notting Hill or something like that?
No.
Nope. If you guys want to pass, I can tell you the answer, even though I technically already said it.
Yeah.
No. Okay. Yeah, I'm good with me. I don't know about you.
Flash, you want to give it one more stab in the dark?
Pass.
The Mist.
The Mist.
Oh,
yeah.
Is it my read?
It's your read. And all right. I think you should read this one.
Well, the clue is I'm not supposed to talk about this one.
Buzz. Fight Club?
Yep. Oh, still all tied up here.
Okay, I'm glad I actually got to read this one. This one's funny. Well, the other ones were funny, but... Grumpy emo chick ponders whether to shag a corpse or a dog over several years.
It's great when we know the answers.
Yeah.
I can't even think of really any shitty clues to think about this. I'm drawing a blank. It's a real Twilight Zone for me.
Yeah. Back in my day, immortals that sparkled were called fairies.
Buzz Cola. Would it be that sparkly vampire one, Twilight?
Yes. All right, final question here. Johnny's leading with 1 point. Noseless guy has an unhealthy obsession with a teenage boy. I almost had a slip in my parcel tongue there.
Who is Kevin Spacey?
7.
No. No.
Damn.
Healthy obsession with a teenage boy. Oh, man.
There's so many clues I could give to this one, but it would be like, too, they're too obvious. This,
yeah. Yeah, it's almost like it's one of the largest franchises out there right now.
Right? 8 movies in total.
Yep. Plus the new ones.
Oh, right. 2 new ones, so 10 in total. That'd be a movie marathon right there.
God, it's not Saw, is it?
Nope. Think young adult.
Adult. Oh, Jesus.
That one guy could have done it in only 4 years.
Which one? Longbottom?
Yep.
Oh, is it that film?
Maybe? What's that film?
I don't know. It's tough. It's like, I'm thinking like teenage boy obsession. It's like Star Wars in some way. He's looking at me right on the screen, too.
Nope.
Nope. Damn. Yeah.
Wrong teenage boy.
Yeah, that would be teenage. That's teenage boy runs away with home and causes governmental property damage.
I like to think about that one as young boy gets advice from Space Frog to kill his father.
Yeah, that one too. That's the sequel.
That's the sequel.
From young boy runs away from guardians to destroy government property.
I gotta go.
These two are not wizards at this one.
I gotta throw this at Flash. I'm drawing a blank here.
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank too, man.
You guys are going to kick yourself when we say it. Harry Potter.
No, I bet.
It's Harry Potter series.
I was going to say Harry Potter too.
You could have. But Johnny, technically you win. You got the most points on that one, so that means it puts you at a disadvantage in later rounds.
I kind of had an inclination it was Harry Potter, but didn't want to throw it away, you know what I mean? Like, didn't want to cement the victory. God, wanted to make the tie, because, yeah. Because, you know, I know how these games work, and...
winning early does not mean you win later.
And and Tony's very, very hungry sometimes.
Yes.
Hungry Games podcast.
Well, it looks like I finally lost one, gentlemen.
Oh, well, you know what? There's 2 more. You can make it back.
Yep.
But with that, that means that Johnny has to start us off with a 2-sentence impression of the film.
Let's say it was a very eye-opening coming-of-age film to see, because you really kind of looked at like how society was looked at back in the day, and even is still to this day, of just, you know, class differentiation. It's just, that's a very kind of coming of age at a young age, just kind of see this impression, and almost that was my 2 cents. It's his.
And Flash? What are your 2-sentence impressions?
Let's see. My impressions of it are, again, it reflects on society, but also tells an amazing story of the troubles and trials of being a young adolescent around that time period as well, along with the oppression and the split societies and groups of people and all that good stuff. So it's a really good outlook on diversity as well.
It's a valid point. What about yourself, Ryan? First time watching tonight. I know we talked most of the way through it.
I'm trying to think of a way that might sound like it's a complete downer, but it will anyways, so I'll just say it. It was a more dramatic, non-musical version of Grease.
I think a more dramatic or darker version of West Side Story than anything.
Can either of you tell me why? Tell me why.
But it's... And, like... Yeah, that's... For me, that's what it very much seemed like.
Yeah.
What about you, Tony?
For me, it's one of those ones I never read the book, and so for me, I only know the film, and it's a slow burn to a quick burning building to a rumble to just kind of ending. That's for me. It's like it just kind of is a slow burn at the beginning of what's going on. It keeps jumping around to, you know, them hanging out to all of a sudden the building's on fire. It just kind of, it feels jumpy. And I wonder if the book is a little better, because the book would be able to blend that together better than a movie would.
I actually have an interesting fact for you.
Shoot. I want to hear it.
Okay. Did you watch the extended cut of this movie with the alternated soundtrack, or did you watch the original theatrical cut that was released first?
I don't actually know. I watched a Blu-ray version, so I'm not quite sure which one it was.
Okay, because there's a 25th anniversary edition, I think it was, and mm-hmm. they did an extended cut of the movie, and it is just like the book. It had all the deleted scenes and a couple of the things that they originally cut out of the story were thrown back in, and then they changed the alternate soundtrack to what it was originally supposed to be by the original composer. And it definitely explains a lot more, so I definitely understand if you saw the movie without reading the book, and then the movie seemed kind of jumpy, because it kind of was.
It could be, because it's like the version I've seen is only about an hour and 54 minutes, so I wonder if there's a longer version out there.
There is, yes. There's I think they actually packed an extra 15 or 20 minutes into the movie, which filled in a lot of the plot holes and things that you were probably asking and going like, wait a minute, why was this? Like, you know, they fill all that stuff back in.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Now I got to go find that, and it'll be like when I watch Waterworld for 4 hours.
But yeah, if you reading the book, though, I will say this. The extended cut of the movie is as close. It follows the book pretty much to a T.
Oh, that's good to know.
Interesting.
So yep. What do you think about the book then versus the movie? If you've seen both the extended and read the book, you're probably a little bit more insightful to this than we are.
Well, I actually had to do a book report on it in school. Because basically I had one of three titles I could choose from, and this was the one that I felt most comfortable with. But I had actually saw the movie on TV first, back when it aired on TBS back in the day. Mm-hmm. And I ended up seeing the movie first, and I did notice, like, when I started reading the book, there was a lot more story to it, and I started really loving the book. It's actually one of my absolute favorite books now. And all I know is once I started my book report on it, I couldn't stop reading the book. And so at the end of my book report, I actually paid my school library to keep a copy of the book. And then...
Wow, that's very later, honest of you. I just would have stolen it.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I really, really was. But back in the day, they were a little more better about keeping tabs on you.
They know so, when you checked it out.
Yep, exactly. So, yep, I ended up just, I worked a summer job, and I paid for the book. And, yeah, and I think I still have it somewhere. It's probably packed up in storage. But then I saw many years later on the 20th anniversary, I think it was, or 25th anniversary, I believe, they did an extended cut of the movie, and they pretty much had just about everybody from the original cast there except Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Patrick Swayze was the only other one that I think was missing, but they pretty much had everybody else there
for obvious reasons.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. And I noticed, like, when they said that they changed the soundtrack. They added a new intro. They explained a little bit more. They set you up a lot better for the story. And then, of course, a lot of the deleted scenes that were in there really just kind of, it definitely showed the better relationships between Johnny, Ponyboy, and Soda Pop and all them. And then it definitely does play a little heavier on how society is and how the Sox act compared to the Greasers and stuff. So I definitely recommend the extended cut. It's definitely way, way closer to the book, but definitely give the book a read too. There's a lot of extra good stuff in there, and it really does know how to trigger emotion.
That's legit. We were actually discussing this with my wife about how it, like, for me and her, it wasn't even on the list for readings, but for both Johnny and Ryan, you said it was,
nope.
No, it wasn't for you, but Johnny, for you, it was a reading as well,
mm-hmm.
when you went through school.
Yeah. Like it was I want to say like late junior high. So like grade 9 kind of read. And then, yeah, you did get to watch the film afterwards. I grew up in a small town, so that was just, I think it was one of those things. It was kind of that societal differentiations that you, or not, societal changes that you would see from then to now. So, and especially in a rural town too, it's kind of, there was still a lot of that. There was still, you know, I hate to say it, like First Nation people that were just, you know, looked down upon in certain ways from other folks. And it's, you know, it's a horrible thing. And it was just, those were the times for us, I guess. And that was the upbringing that we had then and here and so on. And so, which, you know, it's a good progressive book. I don't think it would fly nowadays in school. Here, or even seeing the film, like there's, you know, you'd see a lot of, as Tony said, a lot of like creepy things that were happening when he was at the movie theaters, whispering into the ear,
yeah,
grabbing hair, just like, hey, you're a random stranger, you know what, I'm gonna look up your dress.
Dallas was just kind of really a creep.
Mm-hmm. And just like, would that shit fly nowadays? No. Probably not.
Shout out to Matt Dillon, though, for playing the part of Dally the way he did, though. He did a really good job.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely one of those things where it's like, I remember watching this, I think, when I was, I want to say just out of high school is when I saw this for the first time. I've quoted it for years. Stay golden, Pony Boy. I say it all the goddamn time. But, like, it's one of those things where I hated Matt Dillon because of this role for a long time. And then later I was like, no, he's an actor, Tony. Jesus. Like...
I hate you for being good.
I hate you because you're so good at what you do that you made me hate you.
But, I mean, also look at the other stars that we didn't even mention yet. You got C. Thomas Howell. You got Emilio Estevez, Rob Lowe, Diane Lane.
Tom Cruise.
I mean, yeah, Tom Cruise, Matt Dillon. I mean, God. Like, that was a killer cast back in the day. And Ralph Macchio, yep.
Like, it's definitely one of those things where... I wouldn't even say it was a cast back in the day. If you got that cast and lined them up now, you'd be like, holy shit, that's quite an all-star cast. But at the time, a lot of them were no names. I think Ralph Macchio was the only one who kind of... Wait, did this come out after or before Karate Kid?
It was before. This is 83. I think Karate Kid was like 84 or 85.
Yeah, so it's definitely one of those things where it's like, you know, he wasn't a name. None of them were names. Realistically, because like I don't think Swayze was even a big name until the late 80s, because what, Roadhouse was 89.
When was he was in Cocktail, wasn't he?
No, that was Tom Cruise.
And that's 90s. That's 92.
And then he was in Dirty Dancing.
Yeah
but I'm pretty sure that's 87.
Yeah, and I think that was after. Yeah, so yeah.
Like, and I'm just going off the dates off the top of my head. Like, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure that's 87. I know Roadhouse is 89. Like, you know, I'm pretty sure Cocktail is 92, and that's Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But it's like a lot of these kids were no-name actors.
Yep. Probably most of them had just done commercials and stuff before this point.
And to see them come out and, like, put together a film like this and act the way that they did, it's impressive.
Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, like, some of them were coming from, like, acting background, like, acting families. Like,
Emilio,
yeah, he's got a brother that's an actor. He's got a dad that's an actor. Uncle's an actor with Joe Estevez, who's he looks like Emilio to a T, let's just say that, but he's a B-rated actor, so yeah, but he's good. I like him. And it's just, you know, you kind of like, I bet you like a few of these kids were probably friends or probably still are, and you know, they just had pull. It was
Yeah,
Do you think Tom Cruise still sends them cakes?
I think he's probably sending them pamphlets in like Scientology and saying like, yeah. Hey,
have you not heard about that? There's a big thing that's come out recently that everyone's realized Tom Cruise sends people cakes. He just like will send people cakes like years later randomly, and just like it's a weird thing he apparently does. And apparently
not the weirdest thing he does. I'm sure of it.
No. But it's like there's been things where it's like assistants who were on like one movie with him get a cake every year for their birthday from him.
He also has a gold medal that looks like they melted down 9 Olympic trophies to make. It's the size of a dinner plate for Scientology, so I know he has that.
Yeah, well, that's like Gwyneth Paltrow has a sexual aid that is like $34,000 solid gold.
Jeez.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, Gwyneth Paltrow has a dildo that's like...
solid gold.
Damn.
Yeah, because there was a big controversy because it's like... costs more than some third world countries make in a year.
Jesus Christ.
They call it the Midas touch.
Yeah, yeah, I guess.
I just want to see that phallus now.
Exactly.
I would love it for the Tom Cruise cake thing if it was like erotic cakes. Like you just like
he's like sending dick cakes to everyone.
Like, yeah, you just like some random key grip that helped him out in like some movie. Yeah.
Oh, this is my hairstylist. He's gonna get a big ass cake.
Yeah, just open it up and it's giant, like just a giant dip. Yeah, it's just a big ass thing.
And it was it's full of fudge.
A big ass fudge cake.
Oh look, it's a lava. Oh look, it's a lava cake.
Oh, I love that. Anyways, I got my pound cake on top.
We digress on Tom Cruise, but Diane Lane is one of the characters who I thought was interesting because. We don't see a whole lot of her in this, you know, as Cherry. We see her at the movie theater. We see her later on, you know, and maybe she's in more deleted scenes. But I just felt like Cherry was a character who was put out there, but like didn't really do anything with her.
She was supposed to be more important than it seemed like she was, right? Because she was kind of supposed to be the bridge for Pony Boy between, you know, the greasers.
And the Sos.
And Sos. And it was like, so, but it, like you said, she wasn't in it for very often. So it was kind of, because all of the other shit was going down, it just.
Yeah. Well, the entire.
She's in the extended cut more too.
Okay.
She was also a victim of back in the day. Well, what's the easiest stuff to cut? Oh, Cherry scenes.
Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah.
And so that makes more sense. And it's like, it's interesting knowing there's an extended cut now, because now I might go and watch that. I didn't know that existed when it came to this one, but it was just definitely one of those ones where I watched this. I go, I bet you in the book she's a bigger character. Because even then, the plot of this movie only takes place over a week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like the setup at the movies, like that, you know, the introduction and, you know, she's hanging out with Ponyboy and that kind of stuff. And like, you could see that there's a buildup of, you know, a relationship. Of, you know, they're trying to be equals and, you know, that kind of stuff and, you know, understand each other's world and whatnot. And then she disappears.
Mm-hmm. Well, he disappears.
And he disappears. And then there's like, oh, we've got a spy. And it's like, okay. And then there's that one scene at the end.
Where she's telling them they're not bringing weapons.
Yeah, that the deal was no weapons and they're still up for it. And like, there's not a whole lot else actually that I can remember.
I wonder, like, if they did, like, as Flash was saying, like, they cut a lot of her scenes. Like, I'm wondering if maybe because it was, like, they looked at it and they said, oh, this feels a little too much like the West Side Story, so let's make it a little less.
Yeah, maybe.
A little too Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, because, you know.
That's very quite possible.
You know, because if you look at, like, the timepieces of, like, a lot of those films, like, it's set in the 50s, like, the late 50s or the early 60s. It's always a lot. It was always like that. It was always a Romeo and Juliet kind of love story or a torn love,
mm-hmm.
Like West Side Story. God, what else was there? Like, was it Bonnie and Clyde? It was kind of a thing too. You know, it's so, you know, mind you, that was probably a little bit earlier. It was what, the 30s, I think, that was going on. So it's just, yeah, it's a little drawn out. So I think I could see why they cut it if that's the case for it. But,
they,
you know,
they wanted to focus more on the conflict of the societal conflict.
But it was a little sped up, and then all of a sudden it's just like, oh, look, here's Cherry saying, hey, can't use weapons. Okay, what did you do again?
Yeah.
And then we see her at the school ignoring him, which I actually kind of liked that they did that, where she was like, at school, I'm going to ignore you. And then she does.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like all of a sudden they're all over each other. It's like she's like, no, I gotta ignore you.
This is still a societal thing. Like, we are still.
This is an open relationship. However, I may love you, but in society, I'm looking down at you. This is my turn on. Yeah. So just deal with it. It's open. This is what we're doing nowadays.
She's into slaves.
Yeah. This is the early 60s. Get with the times.
Yeah. We're together, but if anybody asks, I don't know who the hell you are.
Sounds like an abusive relationship if I ever heard one.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Diane Lane, I'm A-okay with that.
Yeah, I'd give it a try.
Give it a swing. Swing of the schlong.
Schling a schlong.
But I also did like how the movie did point out, they did a really good job at showcasing how, you know, like, greasers and socks definitely stick together, because there was that scene outside of the gas station, and then it was like two random greasers in the movie all of a sudden just show up just because they saw two other greasers getting messed with, so they're like, well, we got to stick with our own, so.
Well, and I think the conversation with the Pony Boy and, what was it, Roger, Randy? In the car, basically summed up for me the movie. In that whole conversation, is like, we're two societal difference. We're gonna fight. Whoever wins, we're still gonna be apart. Like, nobody wins.
Yeah.
Like, it's
fighting solves nothing.
Fighting solves nothing in this. It's just to prove nothing that because
it's just to like cut the tension.
Yeah. So I found that probably one of the most interesting points in the movie. Like that, I guess their objective is what I saw of what was going on, because yeah, there was a lot of loss and it was just going to create more loss.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so.
And there was already one person dead, which is why I think they were like, no, you know, weapons. Cause it's like, I think both gangs also realize it's like, if we bring weapons to this, weapons mean death.
Yeah.
Weapons upping the ante. Let's have a good old fashioned brawl. I've been there. I can understand that.
Good old Donnie.
I was a big fan of the old-fashioned brawl.
Yeah, the Donnybrooks.
Yep. All right, I think it's time for game number two. It's time for us to play The Price is Right!
The price is wrong, bitch.
Show me the money.
Show me the money!
Now you've had enough.
All right, so Flash, I can't remember if we were doing this on the last one you were on, but the way this works is me and Ryan have a bunch of numeric categories here, and you guys are going to try and guess what those numbers are. Price is right rule, so that means closest without going over gets the point. If you get it bang on, it's worth double points. And if you guys are both over, we start the round over and we flip who starts. Now, because of the fact that Johnny currently has the Pretty Pretty Princess crown on his head and he was the winner of the last round, he gets the disadvantage of starting first. Clear as mud?
Yep.
All right, so here we go. The first category is, what do you think the budget for this is in millions, not thousands? Johnny.
13 million.
13, 1-3.
Flash, what do you think?
I'm going to say 2 million.
2 million.
And Flash gets it with 10 million estimated.
All right, so next category, Flash, you're going to start us off here. What do you think this made in domestic box office? So this is in North America. And it's in the millions, not thousands.
Okay. I'm going to say 4 million.
You think it made 4 million in the box office?
I want to say it made...
I'm going to go more with like... I'll say a solid 10 million.
You're going to change to 10 million. All right. We got a last minute change to 10 million. Johnny, what do you think?
I think it made North America 2 million.
2 million. All right.
All right. Flash gets this. It was 25 million.
Ooh, pretty gross.
Ooh.
Yeah, so this made in a net pull of 15,697,000. All right. So knowing that its total box office was 25 million, what do you guys think it made opening weekend? So this would have been March 25th, 1983, off the top of my head, because that's not written down.
Millions, not thousands.
Millions, not thousands. Johnny, its total run is 25.
Opening week, 5 mil.
5 mil.
Flash.
11.
11.
And arguably, I'm gonna Johnny should get double points because it was 5,600,000 or 68,000.
Oh.
Very nice.
It was like you guys said, to the millionth.
All right. So that means Johnny just pulled it up to a tie. We've got two categories left here. And Flash, you're going to start off this next category. What do you think the Rotten Tomato critic rating is for this movie in percentage?
In percentage, I'm going to say 85%.
85 for critics. Johnny.
Is this like current ratings too, like 2019 or something?
No, okay. Critic would have been at the time.
Okay. Ooh, snap. I'm going to say 67.
67.
Ooh. Guys are both over.
Wow.
Both too high.
Both too high.
Starting the round over, Johnny, critic rating, 67's too high.
46.
46.
Flash?
I'm going to go with 55.
55.
And Flash gets it. It was 64.
Wow.
Yeah, 64. Wow.
Almost had it. When you said 60, I'm like,
ooh. Like, me and Ryan are, like, watching you, like, yes.
Double points. What?
All right. So, final category here. Flash currently has the lead by 1 point. So, Johnny, you could tie this and keep that crown, putting you at the disadvantage for the last round. Or,
yeah.
Either way. Yep. All right. So, here we go. Unless Flash gets this bang on. And who knows, maybe while I'm stalling here, he's actually just going to Rotten Tomatoes to find out. But we don't know. We're going to trust he's not. So, Flash, you're starting us off. What do you think the audience rating for this is? Now, keep in mind, audience rating is to date.
To date. So, audience rating, I'm going to have to say 80%.
80. Okay.
Good guess. I'm going to say 73%.
73.
And Flash gets it. It was 82.
Ace.
Oh, damn.
Well, you still got the point, and you won that round there, Flash.
Awesome.
So if you were in studio here, you could wear the Pretty Pretty Princess crown, but we're going to just make Johnny take it off.
That works for me.
All right, he's taking it off. He's putting it... I'll just put it on Pennywise here. That should be enough. Pretty Pretty Princess Pennywise. All right, so with that, though, it's time for us to... We should just keep talking about this. So what did you guys think about the fact that they keep referencing Gone with the Wind? Like, I don't know if maybe that's something that's referenced in the book, but I thought it was very interesting that these greasers wanted to read that book.
It is in the book. It is. It pops up more than once, and the reason why is because, having seen Gone with the Wind myself, it is a... It was like one of the few stories that they could actually lose themselves and mostly relate to, because they kind of knew how all the main characters in that book had felt, what they had gone through, and how they currently live. So it was definitely it was just something that really calmed both of them and everyone. So,
you know what? That's actually fair, as someone who's read Gone with the Wind and seen it too many times. It is one of those movies where, especially at the time that this is portrayed, because they talked about the movie and wanting to read the book, but the movie's a long movie. It's got an intermission, and if I remember correctly, I think it's 8 reels.
Oh, jeez.
Like, it is a long film.
Yeah, is it like 3 or 4 hours, something like that?
Yeah, something along those lines. I think it's closer to 4 hours than 3 hours. It's somewhere in between. But it's like,
four.
Yeah, it's a long, long film. I've watched it, like I said, more times than I have fingers and toes. It's one of those
four?
One. Yeah, all right, Ryan, you have to make fun of my disabilities. But no, it's interesting that I think, because Gone with the Wind is actually seen more often than not as a romantic style film, just because of Scarlett O'Hara and, you know, kind of what goes on with that. But, you know, I think it's interesting that that's kind of what they idealize. And I think it's very interesting and cultured for greasers to be into that.
Yeah, like, it's to be honest, like I've never read Gone with the Wind, nor have seen the film, so it is tough to kind of give it that analysis, like to kind of give it an analysis of why it's so romanticized in this book and also in this film.
Mm-hmm.
But again, as you did point out, like it's almost kind of, you know, they can relate to it. They've gone through this experience, they've gone through this and all that. But I feel like they also maybe want that romance, they want that love and that care, because it, from what I know of Gone with the Wind, is, you know, Scarlett O'Hara falls madly in love with Red, and you know, it just doesn't end well. But how are they supposed to know if they've never seen it or read it? So it's, you know, it's kind of, they are they preparing themselves for that heartbreak? Maybe they've already had that heartbreak. But it was just, you know, they want it, like it's, you know, whisked off your feet. They've never had that nurturing love. They've never had just, you know, the world kind of like them taken away off their, they're taken off their world, so to say, just because it's, it, you know, it's, I guess that's like I said, it's, as Tony said, it's romanticized. It's, you know, they've put it like Scarlet, like the development of what goes on with Scarlet and goes on with Red. It's kind of a romantic story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It really isn't, I guess. So, I don't know. I'm rambling.
No, it's all good. I think it is actually interesting because one of the earlier scenes, we have Soda Pop and Pony Boy laying in bed together, and Pony Boy is asking Soda Pop all about love. You know, what it's like to be in love. And so the fact that he's like kind of obsessed with his book, and then Johnny gets him the book too. Like, I thought that was kind of, that's a good friend moment right there, when the friend's like, "Yeah, I'll support you reading this romance novel and you can read it to me." Which I also think indicates Johnny might not know how to read.
Yeah, or he's, yeah, probably a shit reader.
Yeah, he wasn't, because he came from, they all come from a broken home of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnny, you know, definitely getting beat on there. He looks for solace in anything he can find it in, and he finds it in Pony Boy a lot. So whether that means, you know, we're talking or you're reading to me, I don't care. I'm with my friend, and it's comforting.
I wonder if, like what we were talking about Moby Dick earlier, if there was like a hidden like love there, like if Johnny actually had a romantic love for Pony Boy, but Pony Boy didn't realize it because like it was the times.
Well, and Johnny couldn't act on it even if he did because of societal expectations.
Right.
That's a very interesting perspective. I've never looked at it that way. Although in the movie, he kind of like threw some, like the way he looks at him, you could kind of get that impression, mm-hmm. definitely, you know, because he definitely, you know, he definitely likes, he doesn't mind like the closeness to Pony Boy, or that could just be all stemmed because he comes from such a broken home that, you know, he finds solace wherever he can get it. So
yeah, it could be, but just that he tries to, like with Pony Boy, it's just a, it's a relationship, like a stable relationship, a mm-hmm. friendship. Like you've read the book, so it'd be more like, because I don't know what Johnny's father's like or his mother, and apparently they had, Pony Boy did have a fight with his mom, or was it Pony Boy or
no? Pony Boy, the Curtis's parents are dead. It was Johnny had a fight with his mom, which is why he was sleeping outside.
Yeah, no, but when he was in the hospital after he.
Oh yeah, that was they were fighting with his mom because yep. Johnny didn't want to see his mom.
Right. So like obviously there was a relationship issue there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Although, you know what they say, you know, the sign of a true friendship is when people question your sexuality.
Monogamous?
I'm just saying. But we're talking about a lot of different things. This movie's a very, very deep movie, and it's got layers. It's like an onion. But it's one of those things I really like. It's a Shrek reference. Don't give me that face.
No, I was going to say, who's the donkey and who's Shrek?
Johnny's the donkey, and the dragon's the church. The burns and hurts.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that got dark. Shit. But I do want to talk about that, about how Dallas burns that church down.
Sorry, I'm just thinking of like the dragon snoo-snooing frickin' Johnny because of the pillar, like the wood beam falling on him and breaking his back. He's just like,
yeah, because like the logistics of a dragon and a donkey do not make sense to me.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I agree. But we're not talking about Shrek. We'll you know what? We'll get to Shrek. Like we'll talk about donkey dragon sex at some other point.
It definitely could not have been the dragon was the male and the donkey was a female. It would have.
No.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Dallas just, it's funny you mentioned how he burnt, like, how you called him out. Like, he burnt down the church. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because we see that scene where he shows up, he gives them the letter, he takes them out to Dairy Queen. But he lights the last smoke, right? He goes, "Do you have a cancer stick?" And Johnny gives him the cancer stick. He lights it with a match. And Johnny goes, "Oh, that was the last one." And then we see him flick the match off and he goes, "Let's go." And then they just leave. Right.
But that was kind of the carefree attitude that the greasers had, right? They're mm-hmm. basically like just a, you know, even at the movies, you know, they're just throwing things around and you know, being, you know, rebellious, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, yeah, I'm going to just throw my shit on the ground and without the consequences. And the consequences for that was the fire / Johnny getting hurt and all that stuff.
It's funny you mentioned like how kind of reckless they were with like kind of throwing things around, because I noticed that too with the like with the socks, like the socias, and I or however you pronounce it, the higher society people,
the socials,
yeah, because they roughed up Johnny and Ponyboy, you know, they're pouring booze down their throats. Like, I wouldn't mind that, you know, somebody's boozing me up for free. Hey, I'm okay with that. But they're trying to drown their sorrows. Literally and I guess figuratively, but they were really like, they're, you know, they all had flasks and they were chugging them back and they were throwing them around, and it's like, I guess that was just the times, because things were, well, even the hamburger scene from Dairy Queen, that really got me, because it's like they're starving, they've been eating week old bologna,
yeah, warm bologna sandwiches for like a couple days. He takes them out to Dairy Queen, and then I think it's interesting, just Dallas commenting on Cherry makes Ponyboy be like, "I can't eat this anymore," and he just throws it out the car.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that's a good burger. That's a 60-cent burger right there.
So what do you think about like their attitude, and especially with the church burning being you know, Dallas's fault?
Well, it's very interesting, because the fact that, you know, he didn't even, like, he sends them to this abandoned church where he knows the location, he knows where to find them, he tells them there's a pump in the back in case there's water, and then he doesn't even stop and think, it's like, ooh, I could have burnt this could burn down if I flick this cigarette over here.
Bringing that up, I just had a thought. Why were there children in there?
Yeah, that's another question.
It was abandoned.
Yeah,
there's... And boarded up.
Yeah.
So how did children, like, because it looked like they were a group together.
Like there's a school bus.
School bus or something. So did they just randomly go to this abandoned church that just happened to be burning? Like, maybe the book clarifies this? I don't know.
I think what they were is, they were another school who was on a field trip nearby, and they... I believe they stopped nearby to see if the church was abandoned or something, because I'm not sure if some of the kids needed water or something. It's been a while since I've read the book, but I actually do think that's also clarified briefly in the book.
It could have been just kids being kids and run off and
in a field trip nearby.
In a field trip nearby.
Very much so. Yep, very much so. It could have been that. But the movie never really clarified that either, but they basically just set up a situation, and then they set up that situation so that the greasers can be made, heroes.
Yeah.
Essentially.
And basically get them back home. Right. Like if you think of the, mm-hmm. the transition was basically, cause I think, it was Dallas's, like, no. Yeah.
Matt Dillon?
Yes, thank you. Matt Dillon's thing was like not to take them home after going to Dairy Queen, because he was driving back. Like he was going to leave them there.
Yeah.
And the only reason they went home is because...
The ambulance took them.
Yeah, the ambulance took them. Like it was a scenario where it was like they were going to hide out there until... But for the story to progress, obviously they needed to get home. And then it kind of put, you know... a light on like them being heroes, and then Johnny, and then the fallout of that kind of happen.
Yeah. I like the scene where they're grabbing kids and literally hucking them out the window.
Oh, that was great.
Hey, kids, you want to make $50 for the day?
But I also did, I will say this, Dally nowadays reminds me of that friend who, you know, he's not the greatest guy. You know, he's an ass to women and he is kind of a creeper, but you'd rather have him on your side than against you. He's kind of the greaser's greaser, if you think about it, because, you know, he walks the walk, he talks the talk, and he lives the lifestyle to a T. He's a loner. But when it came down to doing the right thing, because he probably, honestly, if it was just him by himself, I think he would have let the kids burn. But because he saw Johnny and Pony Boy going in there, he's like, well, I got to make sure my friends are okay. So obviously, I'm going to help them out.
100%, because he has that line earlier where he goes, I hate kids.
Yep.
So, and he was ready to leave until Pony Boy jumped out of the car. And then because Pony Boy jumped out of the car, Johnny went after him. And then because both the two of them, he's like, well, fuck. And then you see him, like, see them run in the one side, and he looks over to the other side, and he sees the kid's fingers through the boards, and then he's, because he's the one who rips the boards off, while Johnny and, you know, Pony Boy go through the building. And I honestly think, you're right, he was just, ready to go.
Yeah, he would have drove away. Be like, and especially since the scenario that Johnny and Pony Boy were in, they were, like, basically... in trying to be investigated for murder, he's like, no, we don't want to draw attention to ourselves. Like, this is the opposite of what we need to do. We need to drive away and be gone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were never here.
Yeah.
In fact, he probably thought the fire was a good thing because it would just burn all the evidence.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, again, well played by Matt Dillon, because I even like it, like, when they're in the hospital or even, like, in the ambulance ride when Pony Boy, you know, tells him, he's like, we're greasers. And then the school teacher, you know, their chaperone with the kids was like, are you serious? Like, oh, geez. Like, but then even he was surprised that greasers ran in there to save some kids. But then Matt Dillon, I love the way he delivered the line, though, when he's in the hospital and he's being wheeled by real quick. And he's like, you ever pull a stunt like that again, I'll kill you.
Yeah, like, he's not happy that they, like, ran into the fire, and now he's in the hospital. And I think what's interesting is he pulled Pony Boy out, too, and he got hurt rescuing Johnny. Damn it, Johnny.
Always on the spot. Just the wrong spot.
All right. And with that, it's time for us to play the final game. It's time for us to play the Awesome Lodge word game. So the way that this works, Flash, is you currently have the Pretty Pretty Princess crown title. You don't have an actual crown. But it means that you're going to go first. And what's going to happen here is I have a timer on this end. And you know what? I'm going to give you an extra 30 seconds just because of the fact that you've got a little bit of lag to you here. So I'm going to give you a little bit of an advantage. Okay. I'm sorry, Johnny.
Fix.
Oh, once this game starts, you'll realize it is not fixed in any way. I am horrible at doing this regardless of... what happens?
All right, so the way this works is I have in front of me three different categories. So each one of you guys is going to get a category. It's got 10 movies in it on that category. And Ryan's going to try and get you to guess the name of the movie, but he cannot say any of the words in the movie title, any actors' names, director names, or character names to do so. Yeah, and so he has 2 minutes and 30 seconds for you, Flash, and 2 minutes for Johnny to get this done. So Ryan's got a look on his face like, uh-oh. But now, Flash, you have this disadvantage, which means you're going to go first. And Johnny gets to pick your category. So the three categories are gang movies, on the run movies, and 1983 box office topping movies.
Ooh.
And so Johnny gets to pick whose category is what. And I'll tell you, there is an easy, a medium, and a hard level to these.
Which one is which?
Yeah, I know. You. I'm going to say On the Run films.
For Flash?
For Flash, yeah.
Flash is On the Run.
Because, yeah, it's, you know, Flash.
That makes sense to me. And which one do you want?
Can I go with the gangster films?
All right, so you're going to get gang films.
Gang films.
I might get you to do gang films.
Just oh, no, you've got this.
Just talking a Sicilian accent.
Okay, that's for like 4 of them.
Okay.
All right. Are you ready, Flash?
Okay, we're doing On the Run movies.
On the Run movies.
As I'll ever be.
All right, starting in 3, 2, 1, go.
All right, so Indiana Jones is running away because he is accused of a crime from a one-armed man.
Oh, shit. Like, I know this one. I know this one, and it's on the tip of my tongue.
There's a famous train scene.
Witness.
Nope.
Or no.
Do you want to skip? We can come back to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Two girls, one of them was in an abusive relationship. They end up killing a dude, and then they're on the run for the rest. They drive into the Grand Canyon.
Thelma and Louise.
Yes.
All right. Forrest Gump is on the lookout. He's chasing after a guy.
Wolf of Wall Street.
The Wolf of Wall Street, because he's a con artist.
The Killers?
Nope.
The Lady Killers?
No.
No.
Damn.
Okay, we'll go into the next one. Okay, what is the top direction on a compass?
North.
Okay, and if you're also going that direction and then slightly to the opposite of east.
Northwest?
Yeah. So what do you, it's the first word you could guessed, and then also the next one.
Oh.
Okay, we'll go on to the next one. He's looking rough.
Yep.
This is tough.
All right, a robot from the future is going to kill kill the mother of the resistance.
Terminator.
All right. Okay, if you were jogging, jogging is another word for
running.
Okay, and if you're the opposite of day,
Run all night?
Yep. Yes.
Okay, if something is behind you, it is doing what to you?
Nothing bad, I hope.
Two, one, time. It follows.
All right.
The first one was The Fugitive.
Ah, damn it, that was it. I knew that, too. God, I felt so stupid.
I didn't kill my wife.
Like, I knew the scene, I knew everything.
There's so many iconic scenes. Thelma and Louise, you got. Other one was
Catch Me If You Can. North by Northwest. Me If You Can,
that's right.
Terminator, you got. Run All Night, you got.
And It Follows. And we didn't get to No Country for Old Men, The Blues Brothers, or Total Recall.
Damn.
Yeah, Total Recall is an owner of the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of them, yep.
All right. So do you want me to do Johnny's, or do you think that disadvantage there is enough?
I think you should do Johnny's, because that's... yeah. Yeah, I think you should do them. They're just... You'll do a better job, or worse. I'm not sure.
So gang films, like...
Gang
not,
movies.
Yep. Gang movies, okay. Okay.
So that could be mob movies, it could be gangster movies, it could be, like, you know...
Could be freaking Jets versus Sharks.
Mm-hmm. All right. Starting in 3, 2, 1. Come out and play.
The Warriors.
This one is in a group of bad people in the Big Apple.
Gangs of New York.
Yes. The opposite of bad is
good.
Goodfellas. Yep. This next one is about neo-Nazis. It's the letter before Y is the last.
Is it Romper Stomper?
Nope. But there's a curb stomping.
Oh, God, it's
United States of.
I know this
it's,
one.
It's American History Access.
Yes. This next one, another word for stone.
Is rock.
All right. The letter after M.
N.
And if you were to.
Rock and roller?
Yes. If you were to start a new job and it was the first shift, it would be your...
Oh, it's training day.
Yes. The opposite of east?
West.
Another word for tail? Come on, we've been hinting at it all night. You said the two gang names.
Oh, it's West Side Story.
Yes.
Yes.
What's that song? MC Hammer.
It's Can't Touch This.
So if I can't touch you, you would be?
The Untouchables.
Yes. This next one, you come to me on the day of my daughter's wedding.
Oh, which one do you want? Godfather 1?
Yes. Say hello to my little friend.
Oh, it's, say hello to him. It's Scarface.
Yes. That's all of them.
Yes. Nailed it.
With 13 seconds.
Nice.
That's very the easy nice. Category.
That wouldn't have been easier for me.
Oh, I've watched a lot of those films, and I loved a lot.
I got some of those weird ways, like MC Hummer.
Yeah.
What? Well, yeah, and I've seen about 4 of those. I know the premise of the rest, so it would be like...
That's why I go with movie quotes.
See, I would have made it hard then for that one, for like Goodfellas. Like, oh, no, we don't go in the front door. We go this way. And they walk through like the underground, they go through the kitchen, they get the front row seat, and it's like, here's a bottle of wine. It's like, oh, yeah, Goodfellas. Surprised you didn't even have Casino in there. That's a good film.
I thought about it, but I was like trying to stick
Casino's
closer to
less
gang.
Less of a gang movie. It's more of a like a hierarchy movie.
Yeah, that's a good way.
Like,
to it,
like
it.
Screwing right, over the government.
So Johnny, you just won that pretty princess crown back. How do you feel about that?
Oh man, I feel absolutely pretty. I'm beautiful. Hear me roar.
Maybe it's Maybelline.
Maybe it's Maybelline. Probably not. It's mostly Marmalade. But Marmalade's good. I'm happy with that. But yeah, I won, so I nailed it. I'm happy. Kobe'd.
I apologize to Flash for how bad I am at this.
Oh, it's okay. It's okay. Although I would say bravo, and I'm very glad that he nailed those movies, because if he didn't...
Yeah, I know.
Well, then you're basically going into this with half a brain anyway.
That's true. Mostly movies from, like, mostly gang movies from nowadays, you know, kind of, what's that one?
8 Mile.
8 Mile, the one with...
Die Trying.
It was
Hustle and Flow.
Beverly Hills.
Get Hard.
Or something like that. The one with what's his name? Jamie something. He was funny in the mid-2000s. Can't remember it, but anyways.
Jamie Foxx?
No, not Jamie.
Medea Goes to Jail? Is that the one?
Medea Goes to Jail? Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So before we wrap this up, I want to talk about how this movie kind of ends. You know, we have Johnny dying in the hospital with that iconic line of, you know, stay gold, pony boy, stay gold. And then Dallas fucking losing it.
I actually thought that was a pretty good ending.
Yeah?
Yeah, for this scenario.
Yeah? Flash, what about you? I heard you kind of go in there.
You know, here's the weird part is in the book, the scene when Johnny dies is even worse. It's even sadder because of the detail and then all the things he confesses to Ponyboy and, you know, telling him how he doesn't want to die and all this good stuff. And he just pours his heart out. But in the movie, Dally's death was even... It's the same as it is in the book, but you feel more sorry for Dally in the movie than you do Johnny, but in the book you feel more sorry for Johnny than you do Dally.
Okay.
It's kind of weird like that, but overall, like, as far as the ending's concerned, yeah, I thought it was a pretty solid ending. I mean, because you get pretty much all the elements. You get the action, and then you get the redemption, and then of course you feel the loss, but then you also know that he gets to look forward to the future, and who knows what that might bring him. So you kind of get like all these elements kind of crammed into one, and it's summed up very simply, and that's what I loved about the movie, and as well as the book, is it had a beginning, a middle, an end, and it was a good story that you consistently cared about, and I thought the ending did it justice.
That's very valid. I actually kind of really like that Dallas, or Dally as you keep calling him, and I guess they did in the movie. He essentially went suicide by cop.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He just goes nuts and says, yeah, I'm done, and I'm going to do what I want, and I know I'm going to die for it.
Yeah, because he's just going around with that empty gun, just click, 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 trying to get someone to shoot him.
Yeah, it's... Well, you know, it's kind of like, well, as you guys brushed on it earlier, like, he wasn't going to go into the fire to save those children until he saw his friends go in to save those children from the fire. So it's, you know, I can see his breaking point. And I think Matt Dillon played it well, seeing it there when he, you know, he's shaking Johnny. He's wanting him to wake up. He didn't believe it. Like, he's initially shocked that he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you could really see him break. It's like, I've just lost my friend. I'm going to act erratically. Plus, he was also hopped up from the fight before. Like, it's an exciting moment to come back to your friend saying, like, yeah, we won it. We won our turf war.
And then tricking the cop to, you know, like, escort them essentially to the hospital.
Yeah. And then just, you know, that was your final news to him. That's it. You're never going to have these moments with him again or so, or kind of have this. So yeah, it's kind of like, I guess he rode the wave of emotion. Like, he's excited. And then all of a sudden a traumatic event happens, losing a friend. And what do you got left to do? Like, it's, you know, he took it the extreme way. He took it he took it to the point of, like Ryan said, like, he's got a death wish for, like, he's got a gun that's just saying, click, click, I need somebody to fire back.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Which I think is interesting, that he has an unloaded gun, so he's not trying to kill someone, he's trying to get killed.
And, you know, maybe I need to read the book again, because, you know, maybe that detail of just his lifestyle growing up, you know, as Flash said, he was a loner, he kind of, you know, he was the greaser's greaser, like, he portrayed greaser lifestyle, like, he lived in the bar, he lived, you know, kind of rough. And it's just, maybe
I wonder if one of the ones was, he was, of all the ones, like, his group of people, he's one, the one who expected to die first, and since he didn't, like, that's part of why he did it. It's like, no, I should have gone, I should be gone, I should be dead.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And again, Matt Dillon, and I also loved, again, how it showed, like, because just thinking about the ending to the movie, like, the ending actually in the movie, the first time I saw it, I actually cried. Because even though, again, it's so weird how, you know, Matt Dillon and Dally, the character Dally, he's all these bad things, but he has literally a moment of redemption. And then, you know, he figured, you know, he did his good deed. But the fact that, you know, Johnny died, it was like, you know, he figured he did his good deed, so why was my friend taken from me, kind of thing. And the way he just slowly went off the rails, and then the way that all the other greasers knew that when Dally left the hospital and he was, like, after the fight, that he was on edge, they tried to intercept him. And the feeling of what it must be like to watch your friend die in front of you when you were seconds away from helping him is a very sad thought as well. So I thought the movie did an amazing job at portraying that.
I can agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think the ending to this is actually really well thought out and well done.
The only thing that kind of took me for a loop is just Rob Lowe's character. Like, he just lost it over no reason in some way. Like, yeah, it's an emotional sense when, you know, the information's going down, being told to him and Patrick Swayze, but I expected Ponyboy to break down more.
Well, Rob Lowe's breakdown wasn't about, you know, Johnny dying. It was about the brothers fighting, and he was tired because Ponyboy goes, just ask Soda Pop. And Soda Pop's like, I'm done being in the middle of you two. And he just, like, is like, fuck both of you, and, like, runs out. Because, you know, the entire movie, every time we see the brothers interacting, it's always a fight between Ponyboy and Derry.
It's almost like, you know, he has to be the father figure, but he's doing it probably the way it was projected to him.
Yeah.
So yeah. So I guess I'm corrected on that one. So, yeah, I thought it was more because Johnny did die and he was divulging that information to him.
Well, I think that was part of it.
Definitely didn't help.
Yeah, that didn't help. Yeah. So emotions are already, like, tense. You know, we've just come off a fight. Johnny's dead. Dallas is dead. We've watched Dallas die because Steve was there to watch Dallas die too.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, there's been, like, death abounds, brawling emotions, and, like, testosterone and adrenaline probably have dropped out, and, like, you know, he's just done. And so it's like, I think that moment from Rob Lowe is, like, the most realistic, because this is like, yeah, you've had adrenaline spike after adrenaline spike after adrenaline spike just to have the fallout from underneath you.
Yep.
Right. So
absolutely.
All right. So it's time for one thing I learned. One thing I learned, not exactly from this film, but from Flash, was the fact there's an extended cut that I now need to go find and watch. Flash, what's one thing you learned from this movie?
Well, you know, like, actually, one thing I've learned from this movie was, you know, the fact that it's so relatable. But then this part's also going to make you kind of laugh. As many times as I've seen the movie and read the book, I actually, the fact that you pointed it out in the movie that Dally was the one who started the fire by flicking out that last cigarette, because this was back when, like, you know, because the way I recall it, he flicks the cigarette, but it doesn't show it, like, land in a certain spot or anything. There was no foreshadowing. They come back and boom, it's just on fire all of a sudden.
Yeah.
So it's like, oops. So I was like, oh yeah, he did set the church on fire. I forgot about that.
And I wonder if Dally realizes that too, which is why he's really upset when Johnny dies. Because the fire would be his fault.
Possibly. Yeah. Ooh, I didn't even think about that. Ooh, that's actually a very good point. Yeah, that very well could be.
Compounding.
Yeah. Compounding.
Jeez, that's a good way to look at it now.
Just putting that one out there. All right.
One thing I learned from this film was during that fire scene, Tony kind of helped point it out, is the dad or whoever had no regard for the children. Like, the wife was like, there's two kids missing. He's like, no, they're
the chaperones.
Yeah, yeah, he's no, just like, not. No, there's not.
They're school chaperones, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And yeah, it's just like, there's kids missing.
Signed permission slips.
Yeah, there's kids missing. No, there ain't. It's just like,
They're literally screaming.
Yeah. Help us, help us. It's like, nope.
I don't hear anything.
Back on the bus, time to go.
The bad kids, he actually just hucked them in there.
Yeah. I told them to go play in the church that's on fire.
And I like every time I've seen that film, I've never actually cued in on that line. I kind of always ignored it, or just never picked it up. And it was just, wow, that's eye-opening. Like, a dad, like a chaperone back then, an adult back then, who's task is to look after the livelihood of these children, or like the life of these children. They're fine, they're in the bus. Okay, let's go, come on, they're already there. Let's go, come on guys. So that's a little bit shocking to see, to hear something like that.
Ryan, what about yourself?
So as seeing this for the first time and not reading the book and not knowing much about this movie, I would say that I learned that there is way better interpretations of the societal struggles than the movie Grease.
Go Grease Lightning.
Oh, the movie's bad. I do not like Grease. This movie, better.
He likes Greasers, not Grease. Mm. All right, so it's time for ratings. So Flash, you recommended this film. What would you rate this movie out of 5 and why?
Was that out of 10 again?
Out of 5.
Out of 5?
But you can use 0.5.
I would definitely. Well, you know, me, I would have to say, because this one had such an impact on me at such an early age, and it still holds true today, so I got to go 5 out of 5.
Perfect score. That makes sense. It's one of your favorites. I don't blame you on that one.
Johnny, what do you say?
And I am being a little biased.
Obviously. No judging on that. Only a little judging. All right.
All right, Johnny, what are you giving this out of 5 and why?
I think 4 out of 5 for me, because I myself haven't seen the extended cut. As you know, Flash said, like, the book, it does give you more kind of a little bit more vividness, like, in the stories, in the detailings. Like, you know, you did remind me, Flash, of the harrowing scene that, you know, when Johnny dies in the book. It's you know, he's coughing, he's you know, he's got smoke in his lungs, he looks weak, everything like that. So it really paints a stronger image of it. And it's, you know, that's left to our imagination. But the regular film of it, there are some areas that are shortened where you're guessing, like, you're still kind of like, why did that happen? Or what's the point of this scene? Or, you know, why did this person come back into it? Like Diane Lane, it's just, but like with the extended edition, which I haven't seen, obviously it gives it more detail. So I would say 4 out of 5 for me.
Ryan.
I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. It was disjointed. You know, I don't have any attachment to this, either the book or this. So I was kind of coming in blind, not really knowing anything. I thought it was well done and there were some really good scenes, which I'm curious now to actually see the extended version, because I think it would tie things together, make more sense, be more coherent. The actors, I think, did a really good job. Even though some of them kind of disappear for a while and then they come back, but, you know, like,
it's a movie.
That's it,
life.
Is what it is.
Sometimes,
yeah,
in your life people disappear for a little bit.
Yeah. So, and you know, like, I was not really cognizant of the, even the time frame of how all the events were. Like you said, it was only supposed to take over a week, and I'm like, it kind of felt to me like it was over the course of like a month or so, just kind of the events. But
no, because they even say it. So the first scene we see of him leaving the theater is like the beginning of the morning. And then the him going to the drive-in is later that night.
And I knew that was Cherry.
And then the next day is the first scene of the church. And then when Dallas comes to the church, it's been 4 days. So I guess the only time where it becomes a little blurry is when they're in the hospital.
Yeah.
But it's like roughly, if you look at it, it's like time-wise, it's probably just over a week.
Right. What about you, Tony?
Myself, I give it a 4.5. I think it's got some really beautiful cinematography to it, as well as the storytelling techniques that are used are really solid. And you know what? Maybe if I see the extended, this might be a 5. But right now I do dock it that little bit because there is a little bit of a plot hole to it. Just little places, you know, and like you were saying about characters disappearing, coming back and some characters seeming like they should be bigger. And that could just be a book to movie translation because you can do a lot more with a book than you can with a movie sometimes, right? Just on a storytelling basis. But I think it's really well shot. I think it's really interesting and it's got very dynamic characters to it. And it's well acted. I never feel like these characters aren't them. Like, I never feel like I'm watching an actor playing a character. I feel like I'm watching a character.
Yeah.
You know, I'm watching this actor. And I think that's a really testament to it as well. So for me, it's a 4.5, which gives us a 17 out of 20, which is 85%. So we're right on par with, you know, the audience rating. And I honestly look at the critic rating and I go, I'd have to look and see what the critics say that made them drop it so low. You know, like what did they feel?
Bunch of no names in this show.
Yeah, it was because it was a bunch of no names.
How come there was not enough
snap? Did Tom Cruise ever have a career?
Yeah, exactly. Jeez.
Wasn't enough snapping of music in here.
Yeah, exactly.
Needed more dance fights. Yeah. So
that, I will say, that fight scene, like the big brawl,
there were some cheesy punches in there.
Yeah, the choreograph, and who knows, the choreograph. And like I said, if they're younger actors and you know, a bunch of no-names, like it, sometimes that could be hard. And they may have tried to do that scene more than once, but just given the mud and the clothes, they probably, like, we're doing one long shot, and then we're going to cut out what we can't work with and put in what we can.
Yeah, we're going to fight for a solid hour.
Yeah.
And then after that, we're going to cut it together and see what we get.
Yeah. It's an older movie, so you mm-hmm. know, expectations are a little different. So,
well, that'd be a great story to hear behind the scenes. Like, yeah, so like my breakout role in The Outsiders, yeah, I was just beating up Tom Cruise for a good 4 hours on set one day or something like that. Oh, yeah, Matt Dillon and I were slugging it out.
I would like to pay for that. Like, where
join
is
join Scientology.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Oh, but one thing I got to say, one thing that stands out about the final brawl for me is... because in the book, this actually didn't happen, but they did it for the movie. Ponyboy was the first one punched right in the face when you thought that this was going to be his defining moment. They said nope and just clocked him in the nose anyway.
I like that. Like they're all lined up to be tough, and there's Ponyboy looking like he's going to lead the charge, and he just gets slugged down.
I like that, actually, in this, because it shows it just was one of those things where it's like, shit's not going the way you think it is.
Yep.
Well, like, you know, in a real fight, yeah, like, you know, you're going to pick on the small guy, I guess. Like, you're going to, like, you know, somebody, little dude like that, the young kid, let's say, is going to come out.
Yeah, you want to find somebody smaller than you.
Yeah, and you're going to say, yeah, I got my target. Boom, there we go, I guess. Like, you see, like, and, you know, was, yeah, you got socked, and yeah, that's just how a fight was. That's how fights break out. You just sucker punch someone.
I also believe in the book, it was Derry and Soda Pop who started the fight.
I can see that. I can see that makes a lot of sense.
Ponyboy kind of hung back. He got his later, but he hung back for a second while Derry and Soda Pop started the fight, and then everybody else rushed in. But in the movie, he's the first one to get hit. I loved it.
This has been another episode of Flix X-Raid. I'd like to say a special thank you to joining us from across the internet, Flash. Flash, why don't you tell our my audience again where they can find you and what you're up to?
Okay, well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Flash Flanagan 1, that's the number 1. And you can also find me on nodball.com. And you can find my podcast, Knowers of Things, which will be coming out in December. Me and Mr. Endo will be hosting that. And yeah, just go to, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Nodball Media.
Excellent. And a very special thank you to my co-host, the Golden Pony Boy, Ryan.
Hola.
For joining thank in on you, this Ryan. One.
All right. And thank you, our bona fide hero, Johnny.
No worries. Thank you for having me. You know, all in a day's work as a hero.
Please don't die in the hospital.
I'll try not to.
We're here.
We're here.
Hospital is a little better. They got things they can help you with.
Do you think, I just got to get your guys' opinion. Are these burns first degree or third degree?
Can you feel the burns?
Third.
If you can feel them, first or second. If you can't feel them, third.
Yes. All right. So this has been another episode of FlixX Raid. Good night, Internet. Catch us next week, where it's not about the giant fruit, it's about the friends we make along the way, when we review James and the Giant Peach. Hi there, I hope you enjoyed listening to our show, FlixX Raid. If you liked what you heard, I hope you will subscribe and give us a review on your favorite podcasting app. Also, look for us at www.flixxraid.com for more, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at the handle @FlixXRaid.